Holy Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, because he abides with you and he will be in you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Beloved family of God, grace and peace to you from God our Creator and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. The year was 2014. It was right about this time of year, early June. My wife Megan and I were having a baby shower, getting ready to become parents to welcome our new little baby into the world. We were living in an apartment in Iowa at the time, and we had just finished setting up the nursery, getting everything in its right place. My wife, Megan, and I scooped up a couple bowls of ice cream for a job well done to congratulate ourselves after such a project, and we looked around at all we had created and so naively said, "This is going to be great. We'll have everything totally under control." Famous last words from about-to-be parents, if I've ever heard them. We'll have everything totally under control. Flash forward to August 2nd, later that summer. The nurses told us we could take our now 48-hour baby daughter home. And we thought they'd been a mistake. "You're just going to let us leave with her? You're just going to take her home out there where the world is? That seems like a bad idea. That seems ill-advised. We should probably just stay here, where all the nurses and caretakers and none of those other fast cars are driving." But we got in the car, and driving the streets of Davenport, Iowa was just fine. People weren't going too fast. But then we had to get on the interstate. We had about a 45-minute drive home, or, well, 45 when you're going the speed limit, or maybe a little faster. But it was an hour and 21-minute drive that day, and I don't think I went faster than about 50 miles an hour the whole time, because we had things totally under control. I wonder what illusions of control Peter and the other apostles had when they gathered in that one place on that first Pentecost morning. Right, whatever agenda they may have had was promptly overruled by the sudden sound like a rush of a violent wind coming from heaven. It filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. We never get to hear what's on Peter's agenda, right? We never get to hear what his order of service may have been for that morning, we never get to hear his inner monologue of, okay, go in there, you will have things totally under control. We don't get there. Because we are four verses into the Christian church service, the very first Christian church service, and the only thing the apostles have controlled is the fact that they showed up at all. Right? The rest was trusting the Holy Spirit to fan the flames of faith and discipleship. It meant listening to the needs of community and responding faithfully, using their gifts to meet the needs of the church. Today we mark the 65th birthday of this congregation of Calvary Lutheran here in Perham, and we celebrate and remember the beginnings of this congregation, this ministry in the gospel, as a group of people gathering in a living room in faithfulness and prayer. Right? In the beginning, there wasn't much in the way of control, because there seldom is in the ways of the Spirit. The only thing they had control over was showing up and doing the work that was laid out before them. And they continued to do so. And because of their faithfulness and prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit, we are here. We're here. Gathered again in faith and in prayer to worship. I was reading back through the book of Calvary history that was put together for the 50th anniversary back in 2010. And I love Pastor Phil's foreword that he wrote for it, because it's all about Jubilee. Right? Jubilee is an event that would happen every 50 years in the Hebrew scriptures, in which families who had lost their land received it back. All debts were forgiven, all charges were dropped. Not because of anyone's deserving, but simply because that's who God is. It's an incredible gift of grace and mercy that God's people did nothing to earn but can only gratefully receive. This is so much of our life and our faith together, isn't it? We gather, we listen for God's Holy Spirit, we sing and we pray together. We gather around the font and around God's table to remind us each week that none of us come to this because of how great we are, but only because of how good the grace of God is. And much like that first Pentecost, people gathered from all over. Right? Kudos to Char for nailing the geography quiz that was in this week's, right? It's always a little bit of a gauntlet, and, right, Char?
Yeah.
Usually around the Phrygia and Pamphylia, you can feel the discouragement start to set in, but did an excellent job. Right? People gathered from all over, and they spoke all of these different languages. They may have had different traditions. They certainly had different expectations of what that first service would contain, and yet they gathered in hope that God would show up with them and would show up among them, and they showed up, and God certainly responded. What I love about the Pentecost story, especially in our world today, is that these people spoke with all different languages, and yet there was understanding. Note that they did not have to speak the same language to be united together on that day. Because the source of the church's unity is not the words that we use to proclaim the presence of God, but it's the very presence of God itself. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings us together, poured out on all people, as we hear in verse 17, that brings the church together. Luke Powery, the dean of the chapel at Duke Divinity School in North Carolina, he writes beautifully about Pentecost. He says this. He says, the day of Pentecost is not about uniformity. It's not about everyone being the same. Instead, it is focused on the unity of a diverse people. There's a common idea, he says, that diversity, difference, or multiplicity means divisions and problems. But this diversity on Pentecost is the context for unity in God. He says the Spirit does not break us apart because of our differences, but rather pulls together a diverse human community. In this Spirit, the church is called to be unified, not uniform. I love that. Right? It's a reminder that we're not all called to be the same, but we're called to be one. And that across our difference, the Holy Spirit makes this possible. In this Spirit, the church is called to be unified, but not uniform. We're unified when we give up control of life on our terms and simply show up trusting that God will do what God does. We're unified by the peace that is given to us by Jesus. He reminds his disciples in this section of John that we read, right? I do not give to you as the world gives. And thank God for that, right? The world continues to give us division. The world will continue to give us outrage and enmity. The world continues to preach the false gospel that the only way to unity is through uniformity. But that has never been the work of the Holy Spirit. And because that has never been the work of the Holy Spirit, neither shall it be our work as well. Instead, we celebrate the diversity of people, the diversity of experience, the diversity of witness that the Holy Spirit has gathered together here and called Calvary Lutheran Church. And we continue to move forward, led only by the grace of God, listening for where the Holy Spirit is calling us next. And for that, we can say thanks be to God.